put him on. We've got to move along, Glenn.
Hello,
Gary.
This is
Don Ecker of UFOs Tonight.
How are you doing?
I'm fine. How about yourself?
Good.
Okay, you have some input on these Meyer photos?
Yeah, Meyer photographs can be reproduced for approximately $20, and laser densitometers are not correct tools for diagnosing them. Any scientist will tell you that a laser densitometer is a bad tool for diagnosing anything. It's too easily fooled, and if there's nothing in the photograph, because it's a model, and you can't see the wire because it's far enough away, there's nothing to test.
You mean the photograph far enough away from the model, which would tend to hide the supporting wires?
Yeah. If you don't see it, then what good are your tests? And laser densitometry is not a good proof. Any scientist will tell you that.
There's
no scientists involved in testing these photographs. None.
Where do you see a laser densitometer?
Well, in your book, you said you tested it with a laser densitometer.
Micro densitometer is used to analyze the density of the film.
Yeah, but only if you know the distance of an object.
That's not what you would use a micro densitometer for.
Well, when we asked you what tool you used, what micro densitometer you used,
right?
You said you used a Perkin-Elmer. Perkin-Elmer hasn't made one for 25 years.
I tend to disagree.
No, I my friend works at Perkin-Elmer, and I called the major people in Perkin-Elmer, and they told me that they have not made one for 25 years.
Well, we used a Perkin-Elmer at the University of Arizona flatbed scanner by Perkin-Elmer. If it was 10 years old at the time, then so be it.
Well, if there's nothing in the photograph, then there's nothing going to be seen. Any special effects man will tell you that a photograph is not proof of anything, and that testing it is absurd. It has nothing to do with science.
Well, people expected the test to be done. Our position could not be, well, this is absurd, we're not going to do the test because nothing can be found.
Well, all you have to do is send your test results to two scientists in Pasadena. They're both Nobel Prize winners, and we'll see what the results of your tests are.
That's outstanding. I mean,
send it to some real scientists, but every time we ask you to do that, you don't do it.
Gary, let me ask a question here. Jim, you know Michael Malin, don't you?
Yes.
Okay, Malin was the imaging scientist for the Mars Observer.
That's correct.
I had Dick Hoagland on this program last year. And Hoagland told me, and we were discussing this, at one point Malin had an interest in the Meyer material. Is that true?
Well, we went to Michael's laboratory and used his equipment as another site to use to scan the images and to do image processing using his equipment.
Right. What was his bottom line on the Meyer material that he looked at?
Well,
now, I mean, he certainly is somebody that has standing.
Michael's position was that there was nothing to indicate that it was a hoax, and it seemed to him, in the testing that he did, if we could call it testing, there was an evaluation and examination criteria. You know, I did not have a backer or an investor to do this. We did the best that we could. We went to a number of different laboratories, and Malin's opinion was that the science that we had done was valid, was the best that could be done at the time, and this is in the late 70s, and he thought that the pictures were of interest and saw nothing in them to indicate a hoax. So we went on to the next place.
Now, these were the early photographs.
These were the early photographs, right.
Okay.
Well, we have some early photographs that were sent to ABC Talk Radio, some of the, quote, missing photographs, and we have them because he sent them to the radio station.
Yeah.
And we have them. They're originals.
Barry Meyer sent them to a radio station?
Yeah.
Lee and Britt Elders. What is the deal with the almost rabid closure around Meyer? If, in fact, now, let me play devil's advocate for just a minute. If, in fact, Meyer was the quote-unquote chosen one to be contacted by these beautiful space chicks from the Pleiades, okay, and they, in fact, did give him the secrets of the cosmos, or at least as much as they wanted him to know, why are all these people keeping him from going out and spreading the word?
I can't answer that question. I'm not involved in the inner circle. Nor am I attempting to be, and I have no answer for that.
What about
not
Lee?
Part of what I do.
Well, Lee and Britt Elders and Wendell Stevens have all been over there, have they not?
Yes.
Okay, and you're in contact. Well, I don't know about Lee and Britt Elders, but you're in contact with Wendell, aren't you?
Yeah, we talk every month or two, but we hardly ever talk about the Meyer case. To us, it is an irrelevant case to the things that we have been investigating for the last few years.
Okay.
Like the Paul Villa photographs, did you legitimize those?
What photographs?
Paul Villa.
Yeah, I found them of interest, but they're not what I linger on.
Did you legitimize those? Aren't they part of your UFO CD-ROM set that you sell?
Well, I don't sell it. In fact, I'm not involved in the revenue stream of that.
But I did put it together,
yes, and those photographs are historical photographs.
But you put them in a database of allegedly real photographs?
That's correct. No, it's a database of historical UFO pictures.
Do you claim that they're real in the database?
I think that they should be out historically.
But they are frauds. I don't know if you are aware of that.
What particular ones are you talking about?
Well, this is a whole series of photographs done sometime in the 60s, I believe, by a gentleman named Paul Villa.
Right.
So, some of the pictures are very impressive, but when you go through a whole series of photographs, you can tell that they're miniature shots.
Are these the ones that have just recently been released in software and CD-ROM?
Portions of it are found on a program that Mr. Dellatoso has released, and another one is called, they're seen on a video called World's Greatest UFO.
Jim, is that the software that you and I have talked about before?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Well, Glenn, let me move along. I've got some other calls here. I've got Cal Kuroff on here, and he's calling in on...
Gary LeConte can just say one thing about the craft that goes around the tree. Mr. Dellatoso made some remarks about it having a center in gravity.
Sure.
Would you like to explain that to him?
Okay. Well, and anybody can do a perpendicular string in any simple... computer program and see that that ship cannot move off a perpendicular. I mean, it's not something that costs $10,000. You know, any CAD program can do it. CAD programs did not exist in the late 70s that could do that.
What do you mean they didn't exist?
Not in a computer that Billy Meyer could have access to.
Well, but
we'd find the lines. A CAD program puts out a quantized number of lines. It's 500, 1,000, 2,000 lines. And we digitize the image, we could find that.
All right, is it possible, and there have been people that have suggested that much of this case could have been a very clever and complex military disinformation operation?
Yes.
Is it possible, because the military, and I'm not even suggesting the American military,
right.
There have been other suggestions about different European groups that could have been involved in this, that could have hoaxed this entire case.
Well, I'm certain that there are European military operatives involved. We've been certain of that since the early 80s.
But see, hoaxes only work when there's somebody to give it credibility. In this case, Billy Meyer can't give anybody credibility of anything. So he's got this fellow giving him credibility.
Who is this?
Jim Dellatoso is giving Billy Meyer credibility.
I tested his photographs, and I stand by the work that we did.
No,
back
but you're
then.
Not a scientist, and all your science is nonsense. You've never shared one iota of scientific proof with a real scientific body.
It's been published.
I've offered it several times, and you've never sent anything. I'll have you send it to Nobel Prize winners.
It's been published. Wendell Stevens investigated.
Nonsense. It's never been published. Nobody can even find it. You were going to send it three times and never did. You're interested in science? Send it to some scientist.
Well, your position and the position that I have with you guys is that you want to sell videos.
No, I don't sell anything.
Well, Gary and Glenn, it is interesting what you all do.
If that was true, we wouldn't want to expose one of the biggest sellers we have. What you're saying is really accurate.
I'm just not interested in supporting the activities of people that are trying to...
Are you interested in science? Then send it to
scientists.
If you're interested in science, then you would send it to scientists. You do not, therefore, you are not interested in science. Period. End of story.
Okay, well...
Or send it to the scientists.
I hear what you say, but I have my own reasons for what I do.
Right. Yeah, you sell CD-ROM packs. I'm playing bands.
Okay.
Good night, gentlemen.
Good night. Okay, Glenn, or Jim, let's go over here. I've got Cal Kuroff. Cal?
Yes.
Yeah, you've been waiting. Or you're working, I guess, with Glenn. Is that right?
Yes. Actually, Glenn and I met late last year. We had been doing our own independent investigation because we went over to Switzerland 2 years ago and spent 3 weeks there. I actually became a member of the cult, have my membership pin, all that other stuff.
Are you talking about Meyer now?
Yes.
Okay.
So then later on, I happened to meet Mr. Hoyan, and we agreed to collaborate, but our productions originally were independent of each other.
Did you have some questions or remarks for Jim? Because I guess you know that Jim Delatos is my guest, and he has worked on some of these photographs.
Yeah, I'm aware of Mr. Delatos's work on the case. I've followed it for a number of years. I think that I'm probably more qualified to render an opinion on some of the evidence than he is, only because I was over there, and we found a lot of stuff. We found nothing but smoking guns. The main reason I want to emphasize, too, to correct something he said earlier, is Total Research is dedicated to studying many things, one of which is the UFO phenomenon. As a part of trying to understand what UFOs are about, there's this Meyer case to deal with. We have all the evidence we need to conclusively prove it is a hoax. The video is coming out.
The entire case?
The entire case.
All the photographs?
Well, so be it. I mean, if that's what it is, then so be it.
No, wait a minute.
Now the time, though, is for accountability, because
yes.
Here's what we're doing. We're not letting the people off the hook who have put this fraud on the public. Secondly, we're releasing a CD-ROM that allows everyone who owns a computer, and I don't care whether it's a Macintosh or an IBM or an IBM clone, it doesn't matter, you will be able to test the data yourself and prove to your own satisfaction, you know, that it is a hoax. We have photos that we got from people who knew Billy Meyer before he became a famous contactee, before Genesis even knew he existed. We went out to the sites, was able to pretty much blow everything out of the water. We were disappointed, but we went back to the beginning, back to started over, and just investigated it from scratch, and then went undercover with a hidden camera, got all the proof that was needed, and then came back to the United States.
What was it that you were able to document to prove that this entire case is, in fact, a hoax?
Well, we received an entire photo album that Meyer had given a family who used to be their best friends. This family not only saw Billy Meyer fake the photos at the time and confronted him with it, it was actually the last of a series of incidents that caused a permanent split between the two families. They haven't talked to the Meyer group since. The Meyer group then moved up the hill several miles where their current cult is. So we have original first-hand photos given by Meyer, and these are photos that have never been published. They're photos that are referenced and you see in Wendell's original unpublished manuscripts, but have been censored on his published versions. And I've got his unpublished manuscripts as well as the published material. We found that some of the locations where the photos were taken were wrong, yet Wendell claims he visited those locations, and it's impossible. There wasn't really any major aspect to the case that we didn't find conclusive smoking gun evidence to show that it was a fraud.
What was the story about these going back through time photographs that he alleges to have accomplished?
Well, Meyer claims that he disappeared from the Earth for 5 days, and he traveled back into time where he went to other planets. Venus was one of the planets he visited. We not only got all those photos, but were actually able to match them up conclusively and precisely with NASA images. There were other images that didn't make sense either, the photos of the dinosaurs and of caveman walking around. These are things that the Genesis group has had in their possession, Wendell Stevens, for years. But they've never published these photos for what I think are obvious reasons. It destroys the case. And we have those photos now. And the bottom line is nobody in Europe, as in Switzerland, especially in the area where Meyer lives, takes him serious. They laugh at the Americans who make a pilgrimage there, almost for religious reasons, to talk to this guy.
Well, it's
like good work.
Well, what we've been able to do is also go back and independently check everybody's work, and we're able to talk to the people who remember visiting with Mr. Delatoso years ago, and all their stuff is not only in the book, but is, you know, referenced in the CD-ROM as well as the video. Again, what I'm after is accountability, meaning a fact is a fact. Anyone should be able to verify it, and it doesn't matter what the claim is or who is making the claim. What I think is unique about our research is that there's 60 million PC users out there that can prove it all to themselves. And since our research has gotten attention and due to recent law changes, the Attorney General has expressed interest from a consumer fraud level, and we will be turning our data over to him because they're looking at the issue too, where misrepresentation of degrees.
Well, who would they be going after since Meyer is in Switzerland?
Well, it wouldn't be Meyer. It would be after the American promoters in this country who are saying it's genuine and marketing it as such.
Such as?
That's up to the Attorney General, but Genesis Productions has been mentioned.
Okay. Do you know these people, Jim?
Yeah, I do. I'm not a member of Genesis Productions, nor have I ever been involved in any of the revenues of any of the media materials, but I do know, of course, who they are.
Well, basically, they rely a lot on Jim's work to market their stuff, so if the Attorney General does decide to prosecute, there are a couple other companies that apparently are going to now, and I'll get into that in a moment, then Mr. Delatoso, as a minimum, would be subpoenaed as a witness because it is his work that is referenced in the Genesis material.
Yeah. Well, I have to stand by the work that we did back then.
Well, let me ask you a question, Jim. You went on record recently as saying you have, a PhD from McGill University? Is that correct?
Yes, I went on record saying that.
Okay, well, I believe there are two faxes visible to Mr. Ecker from McGill that say that that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
How do you explain that?
Yeah, I contacted them myself and discovered that.
Oh, I see. Well, how do you explain that, Jim?
Well, as I explained earlier, for the work that I had done in two specific research cases and a very complex research case, we were given honorary degrees.
Oh, so you had an honorary PhD. Why did you not use that term when you talked about your own background?
Because it didn't seem to be a relative matter at the time, because I was very proud of the work that I had done.
Don't you draw a difference between an honorary degree and a
Well, I certainly do now, but we know when a number of people are given degrees for the complexity of work that they did, they stand by the degree and are proud of it. There's a lot of skepticism about what value these degrees have, whether it's from Antioch College or a mail-order university, so I no longer say it.
Okay, would you be willing to supply Mr. Ecker with proof as to who you worked with at McGill and what
Certainly.
You did there? And they'll verify that you were given an honorary degree?
Mm-hmm.
And who did you speak with at McGill?
Well, I think we need to do this publicly on the radio because all of my work is widely known in the people that work with our company.
Well, Jim, I've done a patent search through the Sunnyvale Patent Office, and I've got a printout here that shows you don't even have a patent. So what kind of computer work have you done? I talked to Industrial Light and Magic where you claimed that you were the central hub of their special effects, and instead they told me they're going to contact you to prosecute you because they don't appreciate you name-dropping them. They've never heard of you.
What is this now?
Well,
yeah, where is that said that I was the hub of their central work?
Well,
although we do considerable work with people connected there.
I'll tell you what. Why don't you tell us what you've done with ILM and for them, and we'll take this tape and play it to their attorney, Mr. Kennedy, who wants to talk to you very badly, and let's find out who's telling the truth here.
Yes.
So, for the record, Jim, what have you done for ILM exactly, so I can take this tape to ILM?
Yeah, well, starting in the mid-80s, the first thing that we did was to develop training courses through a man named David Traub, who came down to our facility in Arizona when we had developed training courses in computer graphics. And we were working with a number of different software packages that were of interest to them in the development of their Pixar system, and we developed training that became key to many of the personnel at Industrial Light and Magic. And in fact,
Now these are specific software products that have...
Well, this is even more complex than software. It's related to the procedures that are used to train people in computer literacy and in the use of different software platforms and in the operation of different computer systems to be used at a company.
And now this is primarily for special effects in
film
and
television? Well, that's principally what they do, but for 5 years our facility was widely used by hundreds, in fact over 7,000 different people came to our facility for training.
What's the name of this facility, Jim?
It was called Arizona State University Computer Institute.
That's your company?
Well, our company was the prime contractor that designed it, installed it, and operated it.
Okay, I think I'm still sensing this is a little vague here. Let's get a little specific.
Well, we're going to have to get a little advertising okay. right now. Let me put everybody on hold. And when we come back, more of UFOs Tonight. My name is Don Ecker. The show is UFOs Tonight. This is the cable radio network. Was a little heavier than last week when we had Dwight Schultz on here, which incidentally, we have that tape available. It was a fantastic program. This is very interesting tonight, though. My guest this evening is Mr. Jim Delatosa, joining us from Arizona. We are talking about computer analyzation and UFO photographs and questions of legitimacy and fraud. We are almost at the half hour here. If you would like to join tonight's conversation and you are in the 818-213 or 310 area codes, we are right at the half hour, and I guess we better take that half hour break before we go back to our show. My name is Don Ecker. The show is UFOs Tonight. You are listening to the Cable Radio Network, coast to coast. If you would like to join tonight's conversation, and my guest tonight joining us by telephone from Arizona is Mr. Jim Delatosa, you can reach us by calling 818 after this.
CRN, the Cable Radio Network, presents this program for its entertainment value only as a service to our listeners. CRN does not endorse or object to any topics or views discussed in the program.
Visited the sites, went and visited with Billy Meyer, and came back and gave us their opinions. At the time, we were doing what Mr. Korff and his group says that they are now doing, which is conducting an investigation. And that's all we were doing at the time. I was not involved in any books or video or publications. And when someone asks, who did you go to as your experts, unrelated to business we did with them years later, we indeed went to Clark Higgins. He happened to be at Industrial Light and Magic, and we considered that to be a quality place. So whatever claims there are that we have to name drop, if someone asks me who worked on something and where do they work and under what auspices it was, I tell them. I answer the question.
Will you agree, Jim, to send Mr. Ecker a copy of your honorary degree?
I'll send Mr. Ecker enough information that he will be able to understand where I've been educated and what it is that we actually do.
Do you have an honorary degree from McGill, yes or no?
I will send the documents that will attest to what it is that I have been awarded by these universities, and I interpret it by what the document says as a bona fide honorary degree.
Jim, you're not. It's a yes or no question. Do you have an honorary degree from McGill, yes
or
no?
To me, it's a yes.
Okay. Now, will you send a copy of that degree to Mr. Ecker?
Well, of course. I'll send him a very good package of information.
Specifically, your honorary degree. Because if you're awarded one, Jim, you have to have one somewhere.
Yeah, we do. I have that.
You'll send it. Yes or no?
Okay, Cal. He said he'd send it.
I said I will.
Okay, good. I think we'd all like to see it. Real quickly, Don, let me stress to you that we tried to get to the bottom of the Meyer case. It turned out to be a hoax. We went over there, went undercover, got the best photos, even better than the Genesis bunch, because these were photos that just lay in the library of a UFO researcher and best friend of Myers who had died, and their family gave it to us. We have their testimonies. We have our hidden undercover footage out on the site. You'll see that Meyer is not a poor man by any means, that it is a cult there. And I'm real happy that our software will prove to everybody, including the reconstructed 3D models of the photos, and the film, the footage of the sites, that the case is a hoax.
Well, let me ask you one quick thing before you go, Cal. Now, when you say cult, that suggests an organization espousing some type of religious agenda.
They do.
Is this what they're doing?
Yes. In fact, they told me point blank, specifically Guido told me, because I pretended to be somebody who didn't
understand
the
German. Guido Musbacher?
That's correct, as well as Simone, who's one of the regular members there. They told me that from their standpoint, the UFO photos were not important. It was the religious message. And then they told me...
And now we're talking about this document known as the Talmud of Emmanuel?
Yes, but But see, that document has been around from the beginning. In other words, the Genesis group knew of this material. And what we're able to show, because we have a copy of Wendell's unedited manuscript with his own corrections written in red ink in it of what was censored in the later published versions, this material they've been dispensing, they put spins on it to give it credibility, which is fraudulent. In other words, they have suppressed evidence, and they've fabricated other pieces of evidence. And we've gone to some of the people they visited, and they've given us material that they left there. And everything from Wendell's manuscript to these photos that Meyer was passing out freely to his neighbors, we have them now. And that's all part of what we're offering and bringing to the table. And then we intend to later on address the CD-ROM that Mr. Delatoso has released, allowing people to get to the bottom of those photos. So everything we have, we're going to release to the public. We have nothing to hide. And we're working with Underground Video as far as they'll be distributing the video. We also like the idea that they, of course, themselves were after the truth as well. And it so happens that we, you know, happen to be teaming up for this endeavor.
Okay, but, you know, there now, when we talk about this case, this is only one of many cases that have high strangeness, not the least of which are some real problems with the documentation and so forth.
Right.
So, you know, I've always had my own personal doubts about this case without doing any in-depth investigation, but that's true with anything having to do with the UFO field.
Well,
it needs to be thoroughly investigated.
No, I agree. In fact, Total Research will be releasing, you know, the Meyer case, in our opinion, is just something we have to deal with. We really want to get a piece of software and an architecture out called UFOComp, C-O-M-P, and it was announced at the MUFON meeting 2 months ago. It is a platform and an architecture where people who have PCs will be able to use these tools.
Do you belong with MUFON?
No, I do not belong to any group. I do not endorse any position of any organization.
You know, MUFON has always claimed that the Meyer material was questionable at best and hoaxed at worst.
Well, yeah, because they used to publish the articles and the debates that Wendell and I used to get into.
But they also embrace very closely to their bosom the Gulf Breeze case,
well,
which is probably as hoaxed as anything to come down in the pike in years.
Well, I agree. I mean, Total Research's position on Gulf Breeze is that it is not legitimate, but Gulf Breeze is one of many things that I think any UFO researcher has to deal with as part of the data set. It's kind of like, how do you separate the signal from the noise? But we intend to get UFOComp out there, and we're happy that we're going to get tools that researchers can standardize on, because the quality and the state of UFO research is really sad, and most people don't use computers, and it's time to bring in accountability and respectability and apply basic science 101 techniques that are long overdue.
Okay, Cal, I am at the point of another ad that we've got to do. I want to thank you for your call, and keep looking up, and I'll be very, very interested to see your work when it's published.
You'll be in Oakland next week, you said?
Pardon me?
You'll be in Oakland next week?
Yes.
That's not too far from Palo Alto. I'd love to get together if possible.
Okay, well, we're going to be down at the Scottish Rite Center.
Okay.
All right, thank you, Cal.
Thank you.
Okay, Jim, we are going to have to take another quick break here. Can I put you on hold, please?
Sure.
Okay. All right, my name is Don Ecker. The show is UFOs Tonight, and tonight's show is being brought to you courtesy of Blue Earth, the folks that are putting on the conference next week, March 18th, 19th, and 20th. Now, we are back to the show. My guest joining us by telephone is Mr. Jim Delatoso. Jim, these lines have been lit up from top to bottom. Let me go to line two. We have Steve calling us from Lancaster on Jones. Good evening. Steve, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. My name is Don. We have Jim Delatoso from Arizona. What's on your mind?
Well, I just basically wanted to tell some of the people that they really don't have to spend a lot of money to get the proof that UFOs exist.
Okay.
The proof is in the pudding, so to speak. If they would write Maxwell Air Force Base in Alabama, where the U.S. Air Force Project Blue Book files are housed, they'll find out that these UFOs are definitely real. and that the UFOs have visited Edwards Air Force Base out here in the Mojave Desert, where I live very close to.
Do you have your TV on?
Radio.
No. Do you want to turn it down a little bit?
Sure.
We're getting feedback.
We'll get feedback. We
yeah.
Have to turn the radio down and just a little bit there. I'm sorry about that.
Well, you know, UFOs, Steve, we simply, when we say UFOs, we're talking about unidentified flying objects. Now, many people automatically equate UFO with alien spaceship. That's not what we're saying.
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay. So, was that it?
Pardon?
Was that it? Did you have anything else?
I just wanted to state that if they just would write Maxwell Air Force Base in Alabama, they can get a lot of the Project Blue Book files. About 1,000 of them are missing, unfortunately. They're not in the, even though they're recorded on the registry there, but you won't find them in the records. But there are dogfights and chases and activity at Edwards Air Force Base in the Mojave Desert that I believe proves that these objects are real.
Okay.
And,
well, you're not gonna get an argument from me. I think UFOs are real too.
There's a photographer, an aerospace photographer named Dick Beamer in 1952 allegedly took some pretty interesting photographs of flying saucers hovering and darting over Edwards Air Force Base, and they were not experimental aircraft, from what I understand. They did not come from this from Edwards Air Force Base. And they were tracked on radar at Palmdale Airport. And a lot of strange things have happened out here in the Mojave Desert that's just unexplainable.
Okay.
And,
well, Steve,
I wanted to tell your listeners that they don't necessarily have to spend a lot of money and buy tapes or whatever. If they just look into some of these cases in the Project Blue Book files, I have some of these cases. And a lot of these cases seem to be substantial. There's a lot of eyewitnesses, military police, and technical people at Edwards Air Force Base that claim, yes, in the 1950s, they did see flying saucers hovering around Edwards Air Force Base.
Well, it was pretty hot out here in California. There were a lot of witnesses at various bases. Look, I've got to move along, but I want to thank you for your call, Steve. Keep listening.
All right, I will.
Okay, let's go to Bert in Burbank, whom we have not heard from, if this is the Bert that I'm thinking of, for a long time.
It is the one, and I'm sorry, I've had a fight with my cable company. I can't get you that way, but Don, I have learned how to channel your show.
You're channeling now. Buy cable, it's cheaper.
Right. Well, you're coming in just this side of the Ashtar Command, so I just wanted you to know, Hatton's love.
Commander Spittoon of the Ashtray Command?
Right.
Okay.
Boy, I tell you, really...
Can I ask you something, Bert?
You bet.
All right. Now, you know, I've always been kind of hard-nosed about the channeling stuff.
Right.
But I'll tell you what. I did some honest soul-searching. I think I've been too tough. And I've come up with a way to settle this once and for all.
How's that?
Okay. Now look, if in fact these people that channel, now I want everybody out there listening to think about this.
Right.
If these people that channel these quote-unquote spacemen, all right?
Right.
If it's real, these guys, these space people, are traveling light years, right? We're talking about extremely advanced technology. Am I right?
To travel, certainly.
Okay, I've got just a couple of quick, easy tests. Now, if they're really that advanced, they have to have tremendous medical science. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, God knows that today here on Earth, we've got enough medical problems. We've got cancer, leukemia, we've got AIDS. I mean, stuff that threatens to decimate the entire human race. But look, I'm not going to throw anything that tough on them. You know how they can convince me? A simple, quick cure for flatulence, okay? Now, you know, here in Southern California, a lot of people, you know, go to places like Taco Bell and stuff, and especially on public transportation, that can be serious business. Now, it doesn't seem, you know, that tough, but if they could cure flatulence, they would make a believer out of me. Now, the other thing, okay,
yeah.
if they really come from outer space, and if they're traveling across light years, they probably have colonized planets.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, here's another quick, easy test. You know, if they can cure flatulence and if they can do this, I'm convinced.
Right.
All right, here it is. And it's not even going to be a tough one. They've got to have knowledge about terraforming.
Yeah.
How to take a hostile planet and make it suitable for their life, right?
correct?
Now, I'm not going to throw the moon at them and say terraform that so I can live up there. And I'm not going to throw Mars at them. I've got something easier. But yet, it would be important, and they would convince me.
All right, what is...
Crabgrass.
What?
Crabgrass. Okay? If they can cure flatulence, which for all you folks out there that may know not know what that is, that's when you eat a lot of beans, you know, and you have gas in the stomach.
Don, you have to understand, didn't you realize that Dino was invented by ETs?
What? Flatulence and crabgrass. And, buddy, yep. I'll tell you what. I'll send $10 to Commander Spittoon of the Ashtray Command if he can come up with that.
Well, I have an idea that he's not going to be very good at that, but there may be some others out there. I want to know one thing. First of all, I wish that I had been able to hear this show. I didn't know Jim was going to be on. Jim, I have a lot of respect for you, and I know that this has been an extremely controversial show. And especially any time religion gets brought into something, and it unfortunately just dissolves a whole lot of things that may be credible. It's still interesting that Bob Lazar has supposedly experience with a craft that was extremely like the one shown to, or that is the one Billy Meyer had had some contact with, Simiazi.
I want a full Aussie, Bert.
What's that?
I don't want a semi-Aussie. I want a full Aussie.
Well, she's a semi-Aussie, and she's a full Aussie, too. I understand.
Okay. Now, I understand. I understand Fred Bell knows all about that.
Well, I think, you see, if you mix everybody in, you're going to have problems. You know, if you take a can of white paint, and you throw in some red and some black and some orange, you're not going to have white paint anymore. So there are a lot of people out there. At least I just want people to be open to research the information themselves. There's people out there who obviously are riding on the coattails and are really diluting the main part of the information. If the people will go out and don't listen to anybody else, go and read the material itself, the material that supposedly, whether it is or not, they'll have to decide, came from the Pleiadians. It's one, extremely interesting. There are numbers of things in there that connect with other reports from other people about ETs. So if they would just do their own homework and not get involved with a bunch of people who have their own little thing, well, I'm going to prove this, or I'm going to prove them right, or I'm going to prove them wrong. Get it themselves. And
well,
have Wendell Stevens and Randy Winter on.
Oh, well, you know what? I think very seriously I'm going to pursue that. I would really like to dig a bit deeper into this case. I've got to tell you, I have never been partial to the Meyer material. I have always felt that there were a lot of questions about it. But honestly, and once again, you know, I'm going to be up front, I have not dug that deeply into it.
Well, I'll say this, and I have done at least a great deal of research. As a matter of fact, not knowing that Jim and this subject was going to come up here, I had actually been looking at one of the Meyer books before I called up. But the idea is there is something here, and if people will just look with their own view instead of listening to what everybody else has to say, and you know, Don, people are out there who say that you're with the CIA, right?
Yeah.
Okay. There are people taking pot shots in this business all over the place. So if you happen to just stumble...
Now, has any... one thing... Now, you certainly heard that. Now, let me ask you this. Has anybody come up with a reason on what my agenda is? Just so I know.
Well, I think the agenda is that you don't agree with what they say, so they take a pot shot at you with something that's inflammatory, and they figure, hey, we've conquered it. This guy's with the CIA. How can you believe anything he said? And that's the way that this case and so many other cases...
Well, I'll make it easy for them.
Beg your pardon?
I'll make it easy for them. Crabgrass and flatulence.
Well, I'll see if I can't contact some of them. And, Jim, let me ask you a question. Do you have a mailing address or someplace we can contact you? I've been wanting to get in touch with you to ask questions.
Yes, you can mail things to Computer Graphics Lab,
right?
1440 West University Drive,
right?
TEMPE,
right?
Arizona, 85281.
All right.
Okay, Bert, I've got 4 minutes and two more callers.
Go get it.
Okay.
See you later.
And we are going to go to, let me see, Kurt in Quartz Hill on Jones.
Good evening.
Good evening, Kurt.
I want to make a comment, and then I'd like to ask a question. First of all, I believe in UFOs.
Okay.
I think that to think that we're the only intelligent life in all of the galaxies and all the universe is ludicrous to me. I think that there's a great possibility that there's something else out there watching us.
Okay.
Also, too, I'd like to ask you about the Aurora Project. I heard something about it, and I'm not exactly sure what that is. I'd like to ask you what that is. The Aurora?
It's believed to be the successor to the SR-71 reconnaissance aircraft, and the informed speculation is that it is using a pulse jet-type propulsion system, which okay. leaves a contrail that is known... euphemistically as donuts on a rope.
I see. Is the Aurora using any? This is going to sound like a kind of a dumb question, but is it using any kind of alien technology? Is it supposed to have incorporated alien technology into
not,
that?
Not that I know of, Kurt. No.
Okay.
No, there have been claims in some quarters about, you know, other aircraft projects that supposedly had that. But number one, even if it were true.
Mm-hmm.
The military would certainly never admit to that.
Right.
All right. Did that answer your question?
Yes. I didn't want to take up too much of your time. I just want to say I enjoy your show and keep it up.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Jim, this has been a tough one tonight, buddy.
Yeah, it's been all right. I mean, it's been a lot worse in the past, and there have been many, many times when this case and others I've had to explain in detail. But, you know, just the fact of working in UFO investigations, as a broad paint stroke, I frequently have to defend that in total, let alone any one of the individual cases. And finding colleagues to come and work in UFO research and do serious work outside of the UFO community is very important to do. Believe me, going through this nonsense regularly in the UFO community is not easy.
Well, you know, it's just like, and this is something I wanted to talk to you about earlier when we got sidetracked.
Yes.
Out of the program that you were on several weeks ago, Fox.
Yes.
The Encounters program. Out of the three major cases that they discussed, and we very briefly got to touch on the Long Island case. The other two cases were the Guardian case.
In Canada. They left my interview out in that one, I think, just because I indicated that I thought it was a helicopter or a military spacecraft.
Okay.
Because of the rotating light on top.
Right.
And that, some other reasons, but I looked at that one.
Well, did they give you the photograph of the Tomcat and saucer from Puerto Rico to look at?
Fox did not give me those. I had gotten those about a year ago, maybe even 2 years ago, from another source.
And what was your conclusion on that?
Well, it's hard to tell things off of a print. So what we analyzed was off of the four photographs that we had originally gotten and then two additional photographs that came on videotape, where they had videotaped stills. One of our engineers here, Kevin Demony, who came to us from McDonnell Douglas, modeled the flight trajectories. We used a CAD program and simulated the flight trajectories, and including sweeping the wings on the Tomcat based on the stall speeds, to see if indeed those six photographs could have been taken with multiple passes on an object like that. Found that indeed, if six passes were made, that the logistics were correct, that a Tomcat could be in those angles and still be able to be photographed by someone from the ground and the craft be able to move.
Well, I got last week...
We couldn't analyze whether it was large or small, really. We could tell it probably was not a small craft, but they
really wanted precise answers.
I got a fax from Wilson Sosa,
yeah,
who was one of the Puerto Rican investigators down there.
Right.
And according to this fax, that the primary witness, Samori Rivera, had admitted to hoaxing this photograph.
Yeah, I had heard that he had done that, but when I checked to verify that, he had not admitted that. There was a lot of mudslinging that goes on between the investigators, usually when they are fighting over who owns the, quote, publishing rights and the rights to collect money off of selling the photographs.
We're out of time. Thanks very much. Hope you enjoyed this edition of Don Echo Live.
Well, Jim.
Well, there you go.
That was Larry King saying it's all over this time.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to thank you for joining us.
I knew that this was set up, by the way.
What?
That these guys were going to be calling in. I found out about 10 minutes before going on the air.
That they were set up?
Yeah. That it was set up that this was going to happen.
Well, there were some legitimate questions, but there was nothing that was set up.
Yeah, I understand.
Okay.
I don't have a problem with the Don. I've been dealing with these guys on this case for a long time, but it is something I did starting 15 years ago that was over 12 years ago, completed. And I put a lot of time and my own money into it to do genuinely, sincerely the best work I could do, Don. I don't think anything slipped through the cracks. If other photographs turn out to be models, so be it. But there are so many cases and so many things since then that we have worked on that unfortunately is now overshadowed by the fact that the elders have been selling the materials.
Well, the bottom line is we are all searching for the truth.
Yes.
I want to thank you, Jim.
Okay, you're welcome.
Take care.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye. Okay, that is it for tonight. I want to give a special thank you to the folks at Blue Earth. Remember, next weekend, evidence of extraterrestrial contact, facts, myths, and new global paradigms. 510-654-4. That's it for this week. We'll see you again. Keep those eyes to the skies, and here's the music.